Hey there, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Smooth Burrito. I'm Frank.
And I'm Trevor.
And, so we're back. It's the day after the Game Awards here. A lot of shit got announced. I don't care about any of it except for Armored Core 6. They're finally making another Armored Core game. It's finally happening. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it looked really dope, too. God, what a great little fucking cinematic thing they had going on there. It's pure hype. The fact that it's coming out next year too is pretty surprising to me, I think.
Oh yeah, I'm assuming that's going to be late next year though. It's probably going to be like in actuality about a year for it to come out, but I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
Oh yeah, I think that's a fall thing, but yeah, man, I guess we can jump right into it. There was a lot of shit that happened at the Game Awards, including some guy that got up on stage during the Elden Ring's acceptance of Game of the Year and just completely did some wild ass shit. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I saw it. The fucking Bill Clinton thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he just like walked up with them like he fucking knew everybody and nobody fucking said anything. He's up there for like 10 minutes, dude.
I guess it's the ultimate expression of that whole, like, act like you belong and nobody will question you thing, but yeah, it was like, scuttlebutt on the internet.
They even let him step up to the microphone and talk.
Yeah, fuck.
It's like, what the hell, dude?
Scuttlebutt on the internet is that he's some, like, Twitter asshole slash possible alt-right shithead, so.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Figures, yeah. You know. I mean, it would take it would take a certain type of person to go ahead and do that. You know what I mean? Like, spoil.
My thing is, like, he was apparently planning that for, like, days, and that, like, that's what he said, a stupid fucking Rabbi Bill Clinton joke. That's all he had. Had, like, a huge platform for, like, 5 seconds and nothing.
I mean, it did spawn a bunch of Rabbi Bill Clinton memes.
Yeah, I guess there's that.
But other than that, the Game Awards I thought was good. I thought this was probably the best Game Awards in a really long time. The issue that I've had with the Game Awards over the years has been too many ads, not enough time for not enough people accepting awards because, I don't know, like, I figure it's the Game Awards, so giving developers and, you know, performers and things like that a platform to speak about, you know, and like their success and whatnot on any given project is important. And I feel like many times the game of the Game Awards just hasn't really done that. They'll like just breeze through most of the awards, which they did again this year, fewer than in the past, but they did it again. And I understand for some, like all the esports awards or some of the awards where like the people aren't there to accept them because they're, you know, like overseas or whatever. Fine. But I think like Final Fantasy 14 won a couple of awards there, for example. And the guy who leads that up was there to show off Final Fantasy 16. And like, you couldn't let him come on stage and accept an award, dude.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like he was there. So that is frustrating to me. I think Xenoblade Chronicles 3 got snubbed for best sound, like best soundtrack. God of War won that. Xenoblade 3, like, I could live my life to that soundtrack in the background. It's amazing, right? So, like, I think that Xenoblade 3 should have won that. God of War, also another thing about the Game Awards, God of War won, like, best everything. Best performer, best narrative, best soundtrack, best... Like, they swept the house with awards, at least 5, and then didn't win Game of the Year, which I thought was odd. But Elden Ring deserves a nod there. I mean, I don't think Elden Ring doesn't deserve Game of the Year. I think it probably actually does deserve Game of the Year. I just thought it's odd how all that played out. But yeah, what do you think about that whole, did you like actually watch any of it or just check out some of the announcements from it?
No, I just checked out the announcements. I was playing Ultra Clay Fighter, which, for anyone who's not aware, you remember the SNES game Clay Fighter? Well, an insane friend of ours named Zool did a hack that makes it an actual good fighting game with, like, the original Clay Fighter didn't have lows. Like, it didn't have crouching moves. So he added those. He added fucking, like, combo counters, supers, Marvel chains. Like, there's crazy air combos you can do now. Overhaul every character. UltraClayFighter.com. Check that shit out now, because it's out. But, yeah, we were playing that, had a little showcase. We also had the developer of another Clay Fighter project, Clay Fighter Resculpted, which is much less further in development, but we were talking to him just on what his plans are for bringing back characters, maybe some new characters, maybe some insane characters like Bubsy's dick. I'm sure that's actually going to happen, wasn't just a joke. But, yeah, we were doing that. And then I heard reports of what was going on in the Game Awards, because I had a couple of other members of the Fraud Crew who were watching it. So,
I mean, I tuned in
for 5 seconds for that Armored Core trailer.
There's a lot of cool shit announced. I'm gonna go through some of my highlights. Hades 2 looks awesome. Was a big fan of Hades. Ken Levine showed off Judas. Which is very, very close in style, art, etc., and gameplay, it looks like, to BioShock, so that should be interesting. The creators of Celeste showed off Earthblade, another game that looks a lot like Celeste, but very different. Like, the art style looks very similar to Celeste. You can tell that some of, like, the gameplay cues are going to be similar, but the game looks quite a bit different, so that'll be interesting. That game doesn't come out until 2024.
Damn.
So kind of crazy there. Death Stranding 2. I know that not a lot of people are into Death Stranding. It's very different type of game, but I was a big fan of the first one, so excited to see Death Stranding 2. Of course, this would be announced at the Game Awards with Jeff Keighley and Kojima's relationship. It's not surprising.
Oh yeah, of course.
Diablo 4 got a release date for June of next year. It looks cool. All the preview footage from this week that's come out seems to be super positive. The Mario movie got another trailer. Looks interesting. I mean, obviously I'll watch that. My kid's dying to see it. Like you said, Armored Core 6, that was a big one. And yeah, Final Fantasy 16 got a release date for June of next year as well. So, and there was a lot of other stuff too, but those were like the main ones that stuck out.
Yeah, I know Harada was talking Tekken 8 a bit. I did see the screenshots and the trailer from that. And honestly, some of the model work on that looks downright horrific to me. Like, I don't know why it looks like Marshall / Forrest Law, whichever that one was, has the mumps. It's probably Forrest, but like, he has the mumps and he's real fucking like there's muscular and then there's weird muscular. I don't know, something about that new art style kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I also didn't think that graphically it looked much better than Tekken 7, so I think that, like, really making a sequel to Tekken at this point, because Tekken 7 has been out for a long time, don't get me wrong, but yeah. Making a sequel at this point instead of just doing a bunch of DLC seems just like, let's get the money coupons out again or something, you know, let's fill the bag up. But
yeah, then there was that really long speech from Kratos that I could tell was like you could tell, like, the host was like, oh my god, dude, like, this is taking forever. I think you're supposed to have like 1 to 2 minutes. He talked literally nonstop for like 12 minutes, bro.
Damn, dog.
When he accepted his best performer award. I mean, not knocking him, it was a good speech and all, but yeah, I'm sure that disrupted the flow of the show a bit.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah. Well,
that's really, that kind of stuff is, though, you're right, it's what it should be about. And that my criticism of the Game Awards in the past, like, you know, everyone has the whole Dorito Pope gag because it seemed like just the Game Awards sponsored by Doritos and Mountain Dew. Like, it was more an exercise in advertising than anything. And even now, it still kind of feels like it's the Game Corporation Awards more so than the Game Awards. Like, 2-minute speeches are fine, but, like, do some developer interviews, do some, like, fucking stuff other than just trailers and 2-minute speeches.
Yeah, I feel like it. I mean, they're trying to make this the very close to, like, what an E3 presentation is like. And I think the Game Awards should be more focused around the developers, how hard they work, what they're putting into these games and things like that, and kind of just like shining a light on like what they do to get this stuff out there to people, rather than just, yeah, like you said, E3 presentation, marketing, and just cinematic trailers over and over and over again. I would like to see it take kind of a different direction.
Yeah, same. But yeah, overall, I haven't been excited for a video game like this in a minute, so I'm real fucking geeked about Armored Core. Like, that's my biggest takeaway from it.
Yeah, for sure. And
I like it. Like, it looks like aesthetics wise, and like, granted, you can never tell gameplay from a trailer, but like, in terms of what they had the robots in the trailer, like the Armored Cores, if you want to get technical, what they had them do in the trailer seemed more like Armored Core 3 PlayStation 2 era style of movement than Armored Core 4 and 4 Answer, which was much more aerial focused. Which, granted, I'm fine. Like, I like Armored Core 4 Answer just fine, but to me, the real Armored Core shit is, you know, PS1 to PS2 era Armored Core before they tried to shake up the movement. So it'll be interesting to see if they return to that. And also, I think, like, I know a lot of this Armored Core is coming off the back of, like, what they learned with, like, the Soul series and Elden Ring. So judging by how some of the boss battles and stuff play in Elden Ring, like, you could easily take that and turn it into the style of movement that those older Armored Core games had, so I wouldn't be surprised if they just do that. But I'm really excited to see what kind of game it is, too. Like, Armored Core has never been open world before, so if they did that, that'd be interesting. I noticed that the initial shot of the trailer had a robot picking up salvage, which it would be cool if you, like, had to salvage parts and shit, and, you know, maybe some of them are of dubious quality or have, like, special characteristics that you're not aware of or something. Like, you know, the idea of digging around a parts bin for, like, a deal rather than just here's how much the thing costs in the shop window would be pretty cool. But I'm wildly speculating. Like, we know basically nothing about this aside from there's a new Armored Core game, what got robots in it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But
I'm hyped for it too. Anything from software, I'm hyped to play.
Oh yeah, definitely. But swinging back around, I already talked about what I had played recently. What about you? Been playing anything?
So I finished God of War Ragnarok. I very much enjoyed it. It is really a tight race between God of War and Elden Ring for Game of the Year for me. I think maybe I haven't played Elden Ring all the way through. I've probably played the first 20 or so hours. God of War was just, it was really incredible, but I won't really get in too deep into my qualms with it because we did that last episode in terms of, you know, it feeling a little bit dated in terms of style and how it's, you know, those linear story focused games are. But it, once it does open up, it does get quite a bit better, and the side content is just as good as the main story content. So yeah, God of War is great. I am now dipping into my backlog a bit. I'm playing finishing Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I only got like two or three chapters left in that game, and yeah, I put it down at like, it's like 70 hours into it. Put it down to play like a few other games, and now I'm just gonna go back and finish it off. So that's what I'm playing right now.
Nice. I haven't played the game yet, but I picked a copy of Valheim because it's on sale right now for like $13, and also my brother-in-law has been playing it, and he said it was really good, although he also said like he's been ignoring the main story for the most part and just like building various longhouses.
Yeah.
So that ought to be cool. I'm looking forward to trying that out. I might, like, I got, like, an itch to craft shit lately, so I might boot Minecraft again. It might be time for the yearly revisit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I like to check out what they've added, you know? Just to, because it's always something new every time, and every time I play it, it seems to be a more, I don't want to say better, but a more streamlined experience, like... less of the little annoyances that existed earlier on in Minecraft's development, so I like seeing that. But and then I know Dwarf Fortress just had its Steam release, which, as someone who has wanted to play Dwarf Fortress but didn't feel like reading a ton of shit, that might be the way to go for me. And it also, it supports the developers of that game, like, and they don't make a ton of money off of free-to-play Dwarf Fortress, so I am hoping that this is able to get them to where they're not, like, in the shitter financially, because those guys seem cool.
Yeah, for sure. I might dip into Witcher 3 next week, I think, has that update. The next-gen thing. That's free update, so I might dip into that too. Revisiting games, I might jump into that.
I got a copy of that lying around somewhere. I should actually play it.
Yeah, the PC version's getting updated too.
Yeah, they apparently announced that the next Witcher game is going to be an open world thing.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how similar to like Cyberpunk it's going to be in terms of how they implement that, but yeah, they were saying it's apparently a remake of the first game.
Yeah, I saw that. So The Witcher 3 is like massively open world. It was probably, honestly, it was probably the first like game that was, that I felt was like so overwhelmingly gigantic in its open world. And it kind of like spun off this cycle of games trying to put everything, like, put way too much shit in them for people to do. Like, there's almost no possible way to accomplish everything in The Witcher 3 unless you play for like 1,000 hours or something. It's crazy. The Witcher 3 has a massive amount of content.
I do like a good game with a lot of meat to it.
Yeah, there is a lot of meat there, bud.
But yeah, I guess with that, let's talk Metal Warriors. Let's talk the Super Nintendo. What did you think?
What did I think? I liked it. It was interesting. At first, I kind of had a bit of a hard time playing it. I haven't played an older style game like that in a long time. I haven't played a SNES game in a hot minute, right? And so it was, you know, the mechanics like felt a little bit familiar, but it took a while for me to get things going with it. But once I did, I was like, I had a lot of fun with it. I started watching YouTube videos of like people speed running it, and you know, started like kind of itching to like get through it and get better at it. So I probably played the game maybe like two or three times.
Nice.
Because, yeah, like you said, it doesn't take long to beat once you know what you're doing. Maybe a couple hours. I think one time I made it through it in like an hour and a half or something. Like, it doesn't take a super long time to get through, but it is a lot of fun. One of the games that, like, I got super addicted to in the PS4 when it came out was Resogun. As, like, a twin-stick shooter. and some of like the challenges in Resogun, like the addictive kind of loop of like getting through it, kind of I like kind of got that same trigger with this a little bit in terms of its gameplay mechanics. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I had a lot of fun with it. The story was a little bit hard for me to follow at times, but it was good.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. It is a bit it is a bit impenetrable if you don't have like either a manual or a long play to reference, because it uses the entire controller.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't imagine playing this back then. Like, I really couldn't.
Oh yeah, that I like just brute force learned how to play this, because like I didn't own a copy of this game for the longest time. This was a game that was squarely at my friend's house on the Super Nintendo. And I only had an N64, but the instant that I played it, I think it was like 8 or 9, and Gundam Wing was popping on Toonami, so I was like, this is awesome. And yeah, it is awesome. It's probably my favorite SNES game. It's probably, in my extremely biased opinion, the best SNES game, although I know people are going to say, what the fuck are you talking about? But
it's definitely not the best SNES game. Jesus, Frank. It's a bold claim, man.
Name me a better one.
It's really? So
yeah, I can't think. I'm serious. I can't think. Like, maybe Super Metroid. That's about it.
Okay, yeah, Super Metroid would be one for sure. A Link to the Past is one for sure. Super Mario World. I could get out of the Nintendo first party stuff, and then it's a little bit harder. I would say this is up there. Mechanically, it plays super well.
It's real nice. This is LucasArts. Right around, like, right after Zombies Ate My Neighbors, they're at the top of the game. Their game, they're about to make that Indiana Jones game, I believe.
They got super creative with some of the stuff that they were doing with this. That was pretty surprising that it wasn't, at times, like, it felt like it was far too ahead of its time to be, like, an actual SNES game. I felt like I was playing, like, a modern indie game in that art style. That makes sense.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It was like pretty creative in the way it accomplished certain things, and its level design was really well put together. Also, the way that it catered to like slow strategic play versus speed running made it almost two completely different games. It felt like, depending on how you wanted to approach certain things and the levels and how you wanted to play it, it was accommodating across the board. I think there's something to be said for the effort to be put into it in that way, because a lot of games weren't as well rounded as this was back then.
Yeah, the presentation alone, I mean, you have this, like, the game immediately starts with an incredible cutscene in a Super Nintendo game, a cutscene. Like, with this really, really, really good soundtrack, just jamming. You see your pilot turn on his robot and start the first mission. There's cutscenes between every mission, although a lot of them, granted, are just talking on the ship, but even then, they're doing, like, dynamic camera work and stuff. Man, this level looks really blown out on the effects that I did for this visualizer thing. It's the snow level. It's just like, it looks like Jesus is here, but whatever. Anyway, but yeah, super varied game. I thought that like the fact that there's no health bars and you just look at the coloration of your robot, like it starts off like bright pink almost, and then we'll go to gray as your health gets lower, and then at a point, like if you get shot up enough, it announces red alert and you suddenly don't have arms and can't shoot anything.
But
I thought that was pretty innovative, and yeah, just knocking it out of the park. And it's interesting that like there have been multiple Japanese developers who have tried to tackle games very similar to this. Like there's Cybernator, also known as Assault Suits Falcon in Japan. Which I do need to note for people who think that this is part of that series, because they're both like published by Konami. They're very similar games, but this is not Assault Suits Gideon, no matter what the internet told you. I'm sorry. But there's that. There's Front Mission Alternative. Or was it Alternative, or was it Gun Hazard? I can't. It might have been Gun Hazard on the Super Famicom, which was a similar 2D side-scrolling spin-off of Front Mission. Those are both very good games, but this is the one that nails it the best, in my opinion. Like, I think this is the best mech game on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to compare it kind of to... So, there's always those... That list of SNES games that are on everybody's best of all time SNES games list. Like, the ones I listed. And then you've got, like, Chrono Trigger and Secret of Mana, and then... And then you've got like another tier. And I believe this is at the top of that other tier, where you've got things like ActRaiser. And I remember we played ActRaiser on one of our previous podcasts. And I liked this miles ahead of ActRaiser. Like, I liked it significantly more. So, yeah, I would say this is up there. For sure, it doesn't break into that like kind of first tier of SNES games for me, but it is really well done.
Oh yeah, yeah, amazing game across the board. Yeah, I didn't like ActRaiser much. I said so on that podcast. Like, I felt that game was a bit of a slog after a while.
Yeah, I agree. It gets a little repetitive. And some of the mechanics, again, were kind of like, it was a little bit of, they were trying to do things a little bit ahead of the time, and they just weren't that fleshed out. But this isn't an ActRaiser, I guess. They did remake that game. I never played the remake.
Yeah, I didn't hear good things about that either for different reasons. Apparently it had some frame rate and performance issues.
Right, yeah, I never played that. I never had an urge to go back to play ActRaiser again. Although there's some really diehard fans of ActRaiser for some reason. But yeah, this was really well done. This was very good.
This was actually, fun fact, it was supposed to have a Game Boy Advance, either a port or a sequel. I've heard both. But for the port, they couldn't figure out how to get the control scheme to work with those missing two buttons.
Oh yeah, I guess that would be difficult to do, huh?
Yeah, I would have done it as some sort of, like, shift key, where, like, I don't know, you hold select and then maybe hit the D-pad for stuff that isn't mission critical, like, you know, I mean, like, your map screen or, your map screen and getting out of the robot could be on the same, like, button depending on what combination you hit or something, but, there have also been attempts to kind of, like, be spiritual successors to this game, but none of them have hit the sweet spot as hard as this one has. That being said, like, you know, game's not without its flaws. It is brutally difficult, like I said, until you know what it you're is. Doing.
Yeah, it took me a while. I was frustrated at the beginning. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, that's why I had to start, like, watching videos, because I was just, like, not having it at first. It took me a minute. Like I said, if I was to like just jump into this game as a kid, try to play this, I would have probably just put it down.
Oh yeah, I didn't put it down, but I've seen a lot of those first three levels. In my opinion, the first one that is a real bitch is the one where you have to defend the ship in the Prometheus.
Yeah.
Where you better know to move back and forth, and you better know, like, to just keep shooting, or else you're gonna have that ship explode on you. Mm-hmm. Did you get to touch the multiplayer at all?
No, I did not.
I ended up moving back, like, my casual night for the multiplayer for this game to, I think, let me look, actually. December 14th. So, yeah, if you want to join us for that. We'll be playing a bunch of multiplayer for Metal Warriors. It's a very interesting style of multiplayer. You're both, like, it's split screen. You're both in a robot. You have the map available to you that has a port that gives different weapons. It's kind of, I don't want to say Smash Bros. Because it's different from that, but, like, you know, Smash Bros. On the levels that are much, like, more elaborate than just a platform. It feels like that at times.
Okay.
But yeah, real good multiplayer. We'll be playing that at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join the Fraud Crew Discord at sawcon.me. Yes, that's a real URL if you are interested in joining that. But yeah, that'll be fucking rad. I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, Metal Warriors, great game. What did we have next? Was it Elden Ring?
Yeah, that was on the table. I think we had a few of them that we... I think the two that come to mind that were still on the list were Elden Ring and Earthbound. And so we just played a SNES game, and Elden Ring just won Game of the Year. It would probably make sense to jump into Elden Ring.
Yeah, we can jump into Elden Ring. I figure for that one, we can... like, next time we record in, like, 2 weeks, we can just check in, see how the Elden Ringing is going. And then how the Elden Ring progresses. I doubt, even giving ourselves a month, I doubt I'm going to beat it. But like, I figure we give ourselves a month to play it, really get in there and experience it.
Yeah,
because that game is a wealth of stuff. Like, there's a lot of things in that game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I'm happy to get in. It was a game it's okay. I mean, it's a game I really got into and was like really addicted to, and then put down because I couldn't do anything else. Like, Elden Ring was all I fucking thought about. I was like on Discords and fucking Reddit threads and fucking watching videos and playing it. Like, it was all I wanted to do. It's all I thought about. And yeah, sometimes when I do that, I have to get away from a game. I was only about 20-25 hours in. And then I put it down and I haven't played it since. Maybe a month, maybe 2 months after it came out was the last time I touched it. So it's been a very long time. I'm happy to jump back in.
Nice. You gonna start over, or you gonna continue with your same character?
I might start over on a new class and do some research and, you know, find which one I want to play as. I played as like the mage class, but that was too easy. Like, you just like spam shit and it's not really that fun, because like part of the excitement of playing from games is like the weapons, right? And
yeah.
The magic stuff is cool and all, like getting the spells and like, but I'd rather do like the magic on the side type thing. Where so I did samurai and was having a lot of fun with that. That was the one I made it through and got to like the 20-hour mark and then put it down. So still plenty of classes I haven't tried out yet. I might just start it fresh.
Nice. Yeah. You know, they say that with like these Souls games, you should reference a wiki and all this. I think I'm going to go in blind and just see how far that takes me. It might not be very far, but yeah, I'm just going to go in like...
there's definitely some really important shit at the beginning of this game that you could totally fucking miss. Because I did. So just be careful, man. I remember like there's like this beginning tutorial part that gives you like a decent amount of XP or something, and then like a couple items kind of gets you rolling. And I just didn't do it. I like walked right past it.
Damn.
So like you could do, like the second the fucking game starts, dude, you can miss out on like the whole fucking first area of the game. Fucking ridiculous. Like the whole first boss, which is like at the end of like this tutorial, I just didn't do for like 20 hours.
Yeah, I guess that don't leave the harp in the throne room type shit.
Yeah.
If any of you has ever fucked up a Final Fantasy 1 run, you know that pain. But, yeah. And then I think I definitely want to have an Armored Core game on the docket at some point now that they've announced the new one. I am wavering between Armored Core 3 on the PlayStation 2 and just the first Armored Core game on, like, the PlayStation. I'm not sure which yet that I want to stick up there. But...
I've played the first and the third one. I don't think I've even played the second one.
We could do two as well. Like,
I remember liking the third one a lot.
Yeah, Armored Core 3 is my favorite one, I think. Just in terms of, like, having everything aside from the control scheme still being fucked up because From Software took longer to learn about analog sticks than a lot of people.
Yeah.
But you can remedy that with your emulator. But yeah, so, yeah, Elden Ring, we will be playing that, and did you have anything else you wanted to cover?
No, I think we're good.
All right, well, that's going to be it for us for this episode. We will catch you later.
Bye-bye.